Hello and welcome to this daily devotional podcast presented by Concord United Methodist Church. We hope that you'll find this time of scripture, reflection, and prayer a refreshing part of your daily walk with God. This series of devotionals follows our daily Bible reading plan, which coincides with our current sermon series, Friends in Low Places, Jesus According to Luke. You can find the scripture readings for today by downloading our daily Bible reading plan. You can find that plan at concordunited.org/Bible. Finally, we invite you to share this podcast with family, friends, or anyone who might benefit from it. Today's devotional was written and presented by Roxana Jones. The scripture is Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 28.
Not too long ago, I was watching a rerun episode of the television series Blue Bloods. This particular episode involved a policeman who had committed suicide. In the final scene, Tom Selleck, a.k.a. Commissioner Frank Reagan, is talking to a chaplain about the various programs available for troubled police in the New York office. The dialogue went something like this. Chaplain, Frank, considering the pressure that your office is under, do you avail yourself of the coping programs provided? Frank, I've got my own program, Father. Chaplain, what's that, Frank? Frank, it's my family dinner. Commissioner Reagan had a glimpse of what the Jewish people had known for centuries. For the people of Jesus' day, the dinner table was so much more than just sitting side by side chewing on a chicken leg. They understood that when you dined together, you were extending friendship, trust, and acceptance. It was a great act of hospitality. When you were invited to dine together, you were even afforded protection from your enemies. And then there was the crowning notion. They actually believed that the dinner table itself became a little altar. Now, when you put all this together, you can understand why the Pharisees got so bent out of shape when Jesus ate with sinners. In his presence, the dinner guest was welcomed as a friend. The invited was safe. He was extended trust and protection. And top it off with the fact that it all happened at their little altar. And it's easy to see why his adversary screamed, "Foul! How could you possibly sit at the altar and call those such lowlifes friends?" Jesus would speak of a great banquet when the lowest and the last would be welcomed. And in Revelation, we would be reminded, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." Note that in one translation, it concludes, "We will eat a meal together as friends." Now, meet Zacchaeus. I think it's safe to assume that he wouldn't have made anybody's guest list. The 19th chapter of Luke tells us three things about this undesirable little guy. He's rich, he's a chief tax collector, and he's a little short fella. Jesus would give us one more. You forgot to add, "He's a son of Abraham," Jesus reminded. Ouch! They were content to sum him up as a rich little traitor to his people. Some scholars believe that Zacchaeus was a dwarf. In a recent Sunday school class, senior adults were asked what they remembered about Zacchaeus. Smiling, they traveled in memory and laughingly broke out into song. "Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see." After all these years, they remembered the wee little man. One gentleman added that he always thought of Danny DeVito from the sitcom Taxi when he pictured Zacchaeus. The totality of our memory is the children's fun little ditty about this short little fella. It's a fun song, but we dismiss Zacchaeus' sin and never consider his pain. Tax collecting was considered the most grievous of sins. The social outcast was not welcomed into the synagogue, nor could he testify in court. He was deemed such a pariah that his money wasn't accepted as alms for the poor. The Pharisees didn't even want their robes to brush against the tax collector. And here is the chief tax collector. He's responsible for making policy and for recruiting others who are willing to serve Rome. It doesn't get much lower than that. I think Zacchaeus was the loneliest of people. I think he was the target of every bully, every little man joke, every slight, every snub, every cold shoulder rejection that his world had to offer. I don't think he was ever picked to play on a team, was ever kissed by a girl, or ever considered one of the in crowd. So he thought, I'll show him. And this rejected pint-sized outcast would climb the corporate ladder on the back of every bully, every mean girl, every pimple-faced persecutor that lived in his world. They may have robbed him of dignity, but he would rob them of their money. His wealth got bigger and bigger, but his loneliness outpaced the reward. Oh, he could buy medicine if he got sick, but he couldn't buy health. He could afford bigger and bigger houses, but never a home. And he could purchase conversation, but he would never know love. There was never a family or welcome guest in his home, and no child ever ran or giggled their way down the hollow corridors. The only sound bouncing in the lowly halls of his mansion was the clinking of coins as he counted out the collection for Rome and his stolen share. Then one day, everything changed. Zacchaeus was in his normal place in his tax booth, collecting his ill-gotten gains and listening to the conversations from disgruntled clients. Normally, he tuned everybody out, but not on this day. On this day, especially, people seemed to be in a hurry. Nothing new here, just a rush that outweighed the normal misery. Someone's coming, and so our little man listens in. The gossip speaks of a healer, a preacher, a teacher, maybe even the Messiah. But not everything is flattering. Some say the stranger likes to party with sinners. He even has a tax collector working in the ranks of his motley band of disciples. This one definitely needs to be checked out. Really, regardless of what you think, everybody wants to take a look at who's the toast of the town and on everybody's wannabe list. So grab the money fast and get in line. Zacchaeus left the security of his booth and pressed forward. Now everybody had an anonymous opportunity to take a swing at the little man. He was probably punched, spit on, pushed, verbally abused by the faceless crowd. No way would he be allowed to get to the front of the line. But he somehow manages to break through and sees a tree in the road ahead. If there was any dignity at all left in Zacchaeus, he managed to shed himself of it as he hiked his rich robes and shimmied up that tree to hide in the dark, cool branches. There for a moment, he could catch his breath, dust off his robe, and rest in silence. The crowd gets closer, and for the first time he has a glimpse of the man of the hour. Jesus stops, squints, cups his hand to shield his eyes from the sun, and then with a voice that stops the crowd in their tracks, he speaks. "Hey, Zacchaeus, come down here. I'm going to your house. What's for supper?" "Really, Jesus? Could you be any more blatant?" But he doesn't back down. He sees, really sees, the one who has always been dismissed, the one who was always the target, is rescued, and his worth is publicly recognized. He is a son of Abraham and will be the dinner companion of the Son of God. I imagine that on that evening, the big house was filled with laughter and music. I think they drank fine wine and dined on fresh baked bread and the richest dessert. I think Jesus introduced him to all of his men. "Hey, Zacchaeus, this is James and John. Boy, do they have tempers. I call them the sons of thunder. And over there, well, that's Peter. I call him the rock, but you never know what's going to come out of his mouth. See that guy in the corner? He's Simon the Zealot. The world says he's a terrorist. And here, well, this is Matthew. Some call him Levi. Zacchaeus, he's a tax collector. I think you and he might want to have a conversation." On and on, Jesus introduced guys who were once so improbable as his friends. The introductions finished, the stories flow like the wine, and the doors of repentance and forgiveness open wide. For the first time ever, the little man goes to sleep, and his dreams that night cover him with a sweet, soothing balm of peace. The next morning, Rested and full of joy, the little fellow runs to his booth and hands out his ill-gotten gains to those he'd swindled and duped. He closed his tax booth and put a sign on the table, "Out of business, gone fishing." Then he walked away, feeling free and standing tall. Let us pray. Father, you see us when the world says we're invisible. Help us, Father, to see with your eyes of grace. Help us to look beyond circumstance and accept and love all of your children. Forgive us when we have been little of mind and short on compassion and love. Help us to walk closer and become more like the one who came to save us all. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's daily devotional. This podcast is a ministry of Concord United Methodist Church. For more information about our church, including worship times, mission opportunities, and study groups, please visit our website at concordunited.org. We also invite you to visit our YouTube channel, where you can see past worship services, including the current sermon series, Friends in Low Places, Jesus According to Luke. Finally, we would be honored if you gave this podcast a positive rating so that others can find it and benefit from it.